Ki mitzion tetze Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Welcome to Counting Towards Sinai, a project of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Yehudis Kolshevsky from Jerusalem, and today we will be learning about blessing number 15, which is the prayer for the revelation of Mashiach. Now, as I'm sure you've already learned by this time in the series, the blessings of Shmona Esrei are progressive or cumulative in a certain sense. They encompass an arc of both personal and collective transformation that culminates in redemption. Blessing 15, our blessing for today, follows the prayer for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And our blessing is concerned with the sprouting of the plant of David. We'll see what this idea of Tzemach David, the plant of David, what we're going to concern ourselves with that in a minute. And then following that, in blessing 16, we look forward to our prayers being accepted in a rebuilt Beit HaMikdash. So we're still following that arc of the process of redemption. Now, in the prior blessing for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, part of that blessing is we ask, V'chisei David avdecha mehera letochat achin, that the throne of David, your servant, should be quickly established within it, within this rebuilt Yerushalayim. So one of the questions we want to touch upon is first, how does that differ from the blessing that we're really concerned with today, the 15th blessing? If we've already asked in the 14th blessing for the establishment of Kisei David, what is essentially different between that and asking for the sprouting of the plant of David? What's the difference? So we can say in the 14th blessing, when we speak about Kisei David, we're talking about the establishment of the infrastructure. The infrastructure or the platform that's necessary to support the Geula process. First, there has to be a Yerushalayim. There has to be a setting in place that's going to allow the further process of redemption to take place, where the light of Mashiach can be revealed, where all the spiritual aspects of redemption can also come to unfold. All of that is a further process that first needs a base from which it can operate. Now, let's look to our language of our blessing so we can sort of pull it apart and see what it has to reveal to us. The 15th blessing, I'm using Nusach Sfard, so it could be slightly different in the way that you're accustomed, but it's basically the same text. Et Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Tatzmiach. We ask that the plant, the Tzemach, of David your servant, should be made to sprout, to sprout quickly. V'karno Tarim Bishuatecha. And may his horn, may you uplift his horn with your salvation. Ki Lishuatcha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Because we have been anticipating or hoping for your salvation, Hashem, all the day, umitzapim lishua, and we are looking forward to or anticipating redemption, salvation. Baruch ata Hashem, matzmiach keren Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who causes the horn of salvation to sprout. So we have this juxtaposition of a language that is organic, we'll say, this language of the sprouting, and the keren, the horn, which is not vegetative, but we're talking about the material of horn, which is the means through which the line of David, the line of kings who come from David, culminating in Mashiach, that's where they're anointed from. Not like Shaul, who was, as the Talmud tells us, Shaul was anointed using a clay vessel, an earthenware vessel, which meant that his the line of kingship that came from him would not last, but David's line is permanent, it is forever, and so the kings who come from the line of David are anointed through the keren. They are, the oil that's used for anointing is poured upon them from a horn, which is a strong, like it's even harder than bone, the material, and that's symbolic of the permanence of the line of David. Now, where does the Tzemach come in? We find a few references in Tanakh to Mashiach as a plant. I mean, the Talmud itself says in the Gemara in Yerushalmi in Brachot that Tzemach is one of the names of Mashiach. Yirmiyahu, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in the 23rd chapter, we find the announcement, Hine yamim ba'im, Nu'um Hashem, v'kimoti le'David tzemach tzadik. So we have a prophecy about the future that comes to Yirmiyahu. The days will come, Hashem promises, and I will uplift to David, for David, a sprout that comes from him that will be righteous. And the pasuk goes on to tell us about the nature of Mashiach. Further, in Zechariah, in the 3rd chapter, we have the announcement, Ki hinni mivi et avdi tzemach. Behold, I am bringing my servant Tzemach. Now, the Rashi there tells us that this is a reference to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the initiator of the return of the Jewish people from Babel back to Eretz Israel, and he was also from the line of David. But Zerubbabel was not a true king, and Zerubbabel was, we'll say, a reflection of the idea of Tzemach in that time. But the Malbim tells us that we're talking here, Hineni Meviat Avdi Tzemach, that prophecy of Zechariah is referring actually to Acharit Hayamim, is referring to the ultimate future and the revelation of Mashiach himself. Now, the language of Tzemach, the Malbim says on the spot, that we're talking about the messianic process spoken about in these organic terms, is because Mashiach, the soul of Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, is like, and I'm going to use the language in the Malbim, kezera hatamud b'mamakei adama, like a seed that's hidden down in the depths of the earth, asher b'ito yitzmach v'yitgaleu mitachtav yitzmach, that in its time it will sprout and it's going to be revealed, and then there will be further growth that comes from it. So this idea of asher b'ito yitzmach, that in its time it sprouts, you know, the idea of umitzapim Yeshua, let's go back to the bracha itself, that in, at least in Nusach Sfard, that we add these words, umitzapim Yeshua, we are anticipating redemption. You know, anticipating redemption is one of the three questions that it says in the Gemara in Shabbat that we're asked after we leave this world. One of the questions is, tzipita Yeshua, were you anticipating redemption? What does it mean to anticipate? You know, here in Yerushalayim, there's a place called Har HaTzofim. Har HaTzofim, also known as Mount Scopus, it's a place, a tall place, a high place, where you can look out, and from that vantage point, you can look out and see far. So the idea of tzipita, to anticipate, it's not this idea of, you know, having an expectation. Even though in Hebrew we do say tzipiot, right? Tzipiot are expectations. But the idea is to be a tzofeh. One of the names of the prophets is to be a tzofeh, to be able to look out into the long view and receive information from casting your eyes, scoping out, right? That's the Mount Scopus, to go looking out into the far distance, to be able to come back with the information, the inspiration that's going to be able to keep you going. So this tzipita lishua that we're asked when we leave the world is, you know, are we living with a consciousness, with this forward-looking consciousness that takes into account that what we're looking at, when we're looking at the world, when we're looking at our own lives and our own conditions, that what we're really looking at is a process of ge'ula that is unfolding as we go. So, you know, when we think about the seed, seeds have to go through decomposition, a kind of decomposition in the earth before they awaken from dormancy. Most seeds do go through this before they can come back to new life and new growth. And it's not just an idea. That way of seeing things helps us stay in a state of tzipia l'Yeshua. You know, I'm a gardener. Some seeds spring into life fairly quickly. Some are slow. They all depend on multiple interconnected factors, light, heat, the presence of certain enzymes or chemicals. The timing is so specific. And waiting and watching for that sprout to emerge, it's tempting to want to prod beneath the soil to check on what's happening because it's taking place out of sight. But doing so, it can totally ruin the process. You know, you really must go on faith. the order of the Mishnah of Zrayim is also known as Emuna. So when we look at the world, you know, we see a lot that appears to be breakdown, a lot of decomposition. This 15th blessing reminds us on a daily basis that the more things appear to fall apart, the closer we are getting to that spark of vitality, redemption, becoming actualized. May we come to see speedily and in our days the sprouting forth of the light of our righteous Redeemer. I want to thank you for learning together with me today, and happy davening.